Blog Talk Radio.
Back to another installment of Revolution Radio with your hosts John Arbor and Jacob Davis. We're here the day after Super Tuesday number 2, and as always, guests can call in 646-787-8249. That's 646-787-8249. You can always follow us on Twitter, and our handle there is at RevRadio2. Our handle there is at RevRadio2. So, yesterday was Super Tuesday part 2. Donald Trump wrapped up Florida, Illinois, North Carolina. He's ahead. They haven't called Missouri, but he's ahead with 100% reporting, so I don't know what's going on there, but seems like he's going to win Missouri. And then also the islands or whatever, the Marina Islands or whatever else. And then you have John Kasich winning Ohio and plain spoiler. Staying in the race, even though he needs like 112% of the delegates remaining to clinch the nomination.
Yeah, I almost feel like it's Super Tuesday Part 3. Like, they need to rename these things, because March the 8th with Michigan and all that, that was also pretty super. So, yeah. I think after last night, there was one big winner, that's Donald Trump, you know, winning how many? Possibly four of the things.
Five of the six contests.
Yeah, five of the six. I forget the Mariana Islands. And then Kasich, I guess, would be a slight winner because he got his state. Not much of an accomplishment, but. And I think the two losers of last night would be Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. Dropping out, and Ted Cruz, no wins.
Well, if you go look at the Ohio vote, and we all remember before the race, Rubio calling his supporters to throw their support behind Kasich. And Rubio's been polling, he's been getting 10 to 12%, like pretty much. I mean, he's been doing admirably, like 10 to 12%. He only got 2% in Ohio. So how much of that Rubio support caused Kasich to win that race? What I'm asking.
Yeah, I think they went over to Kasich. He beat Trump by what, 11?
10 or 11, something like that. Yeah, and it was Rubio telling people to throw their support behind him that pushed Kasich. So Kasich's a slight winner, but he needed an assist on the win. He couldn't do it by himself.
True. I also think, though, I'm of the opinion, though, that it helps Donald Trump having Kasich reinvigorated, still going. He has no chance of winning. But he does have a chance of breaking up delegates away from Ted Cruz, the other person left in the race, and helping secure Donald Trump, you know, a pathway to the nomination, where it seems exceedingly less and less likely that the other two have a chance. Well, Kasich doesn't have any chance, but
I think Ted Cruz has to win like 70% of the remaining delegates.
Yeah, like anybody listening, you probably already check out Drudge Report, but the main link takes you to New York Times, and they have a really cool delegate calculator. So if Donald Trump keeps the same, you know, same average as he's been doing, he wins the nomination. He can actually drop a couple percentage points down and still get the 1,237 delegates needed to win. So,
and then. And that, I don't know how they calculate it, but I was watching the Five last night after after everything. They came on like at midnight. And if he continued, winning at the same rate, and they just did proportionately on the delegates, which there's a lot of winner-take-all, winner-take-most states coming up, Donald Trump would hit 1237 on the dot. So
wouldn't that be something?
They would have to do something. Even if he's close, like says he's at 1,200, I don't think they'll take it away from him. It's pretty much wrapped up. I mean, anything could happen. It could be a bombshell where he loses all his support, but at the current trajectory, not much I think the others can do.
No, I'm trying to look at this thing for Cruz. It's looking like 69 or 70% he has to win of the delegates coming out after March 15th. And that is not indicative of anything that's going on right now. So it's either going to be a contested convention or whatever it's called, or a Trump nomination. And I just can't see them giving it to anybody other than Cruz or Trump. If they go in there and Trump is not quite there yet and they're close and Cruz is a little bit behind and they end up giving it to Cruz, I'll accept that. Because Cruz has been a competitor, but nobody else.
Not Paul Ryan? You don't want Paul Ryan?
Well, he said he's not going to run. Of course, he said he wouldn't run for speaker either.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Glenn Beck was happy today.
Oh, I didn't even get to hear very much today because I was busy at work. But I know.
That's all where he called John Kasich a son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, because all day yesterday, Glenn's like, I don't even care what happens, even if Trump gets them all that matters, and this is from the Cruz campaign because they're close, you know, all that matters is that Kasich and Rubio get out, and then Cruz has a way to win. Well, I don't think Kasich's getting out anytime soon now. And it must drive people crazy.
I don't think you have a sustainable campaign if your whole premise is getting other people out. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, but that shouldn't be like your strategy. You know, we can't do it unless this happens.
Well, they don't really have many other options. We're through half the delegates now?
Yep.
Have been awarded. So, yeah, if Kasich got zero delegates coming out of here and Cruz got 62% of them, he still doesn't make it. So it's a really hard path for Cruz to win. But from what I've been reading, California is a big player. That's going to be one to watch out for.
Well,
if Trump wins California, then it's pretty much done.
California's winner take most, just like Illinois. And that means Trump's going to get the – if Trump wins, which I don't believe Cruz's brand of conservatism will play real well in California. I mean, that's just me personally. But if Trump wins that, it's over. I mean, look at the Hollywood people. Look what the Hollywood – who are the Hollywood people supporting? You don't see them coming out for Cruz. Seem to come out for Trump.
Well, you know who they really support, though? Hillary Clinton.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying on the conservative side, who are they coming out for? They're not coming out for Cruz. He tried to claim he had Chuck Norris's endorsement, and Chuck Norris condemned him and said, I didn't give you my endorsement.
Yeah. I heard about that, and people were a little upset about that. He did give Huckabee his endorsement earlier on. So,
yeah, he's been with Huckabee, you know.
No, but what will really blow your mind is if you go to, like, Wikipedia and you look at the endorsements per candidate, you know, Hillary Clinton has so many endorsements. It's unbelievable. But I guess that's probably, like, the safe play for these people. If you're a Hollywood actor or actress, you say you like Hillary Clinton, nobody's going to give you any grief. But if you secretly like Trump, or even if you secretly like Cruz, you're going to be ostracized, and everybody's going to be like, what's going on?
Are you secretly like Bernie?
Yeah, well, Bernie might be okay for them. I didn't check out his endorsements. He's kind of cool for the young people, so.
Well, Bernie's done. I don't know, like, these Bernie people are so mad. I guess they're they're planning some protest. Well, let me see what it was called. I read it earlier and I forgot. Something Spring, where they're going to start in Philadelphia and they're going to march to the Capitol. And it's the same people that were disrupting the Trump rally. The same.
Yeah.
It's called Democracy Spring. The Democracy Spring. And it's going to be taking place here in like a month. And it's being sponsored by, you know, MoveOn.org and Democratic Socialist of America. I mean, Democratic Socialist of America. Anybody, like, do they realize socialism hasn't worked anywhere? Socialist countries in Europe right now are failing, and they're pushing socialism. I mean, how out of touch can they be with the what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Well, they point out maybe a couple little countries like Switzerland where it might not be that bad to live, but that's totally nothing like America. It can't work that way here. And I don't know, but socialism...
You look at the following rules. These are the same people that were the protest of Donald Trump's rally in Chicago, and these are the rules, according to their website, of engaging in civil disobedience. We will use no violence, verbal or physical, toward any person. Okay? Pretty sure I saw that. How about you? We will maintain an attitude of openness and respect toward all encounter in our actions. I'm pretty sure I saw them tearing people's signs out of Trump supporters' hands. Pretty sure I saw that. We will not destroy or damage any property. We will not carry any weapons or any means of physical defense, including shields. We will not wear masks or otherwise conceal our faces or identities. We will exercise personal and collective responsibility to ensure all participants adhere to this agreement. I don't see that happening. How about you?
No, I can't wait to see if they follow their tenets. You know?
I mean,
if they follow that, go ahead. You guys can do anything. Just don't interrupt people's stuff. Don't tear people's signs out. Don't shout people down. Sure. But do we really think that's going to go down? You think that's going to happen?
No.
Just look at the picture
I doubt
on that. I'm on the same link as you, and you see this picture holding back these guys with the Stop Hate, Stop Trump t-shirts. What a bunch of losers.
I mean, I like what Trump said one of his last rallies. He said, I've been nice so far. We are going to pursue any charges from now on for any of the protests. Any charges that can be levied against them, we're going to pursue. And then they make him go home and explain to their mommy and daddy why they can't get a job because they have a criminal record.
Well, you see when they stand in front of cars and traffic and stopping it and
yeah.
All this stuff, don't do that. You look
that's
horrible.
Not peaceful.
No, that's disruptive. I don't know whose mind you're going to change with that sort of thing. So, but they're
just
not going to have anywhere
freeway.
To go. If they're Bernie people, they're not going to have much to do because Hillary Clinton's almost doubled them now.
Yeah, I mean, it's over. Bernie needed a strong night last night, and he fell flat. I mean,
yeah.
Bernie had the second worst night. Rubio had the worst, and Bernie was second.
Yeah, the worst night was Rubio, I would say. Okay, I'd say the worst night, Rubio had the worst night. Second worst night was Bernie, and the third worst night was Cruz.
Yeah.
But Rubio, you got to give it to him for number one because he's out, you know?
I was hoping to cry during the speech. I wanted him to cry.
You have no heart. I actually, for a second, you know, because you see his family up there, and you know they're like real people too, even though, you know, I'm not for Rubio. But, and it's got to be a hard time because he really wanted it and everything. And then he gave that speech. If he would have kept that tone and he never did the Gang of Eight, he might have been a contender. He still has some issues, but he might have been a contender. But when he tried to jump into Donald Trump's game and attack him and go like that, I mean, it just destroyed him.
Poor little Marco.
No, and he stuck with that name for the rest of his life, too, little Marco. I bet you there's millions of people when they're watching that speech thinking in their head, there's little Marco.
I don't think Marco can reestablish his political career. I mean...
You don't?
What the establishment told him. you know, and completely ripped his career to shreds. I mean, if he would have just lost, fighting a respectful fight, not saying things about Donald Trump's hands, and he peed his pants, and, you know, would never really got the little Marco label, and maybe he could have went back and worked in the Senate or become a governor, or, but now, I mean, it's going to be hard.
Yeah,
he's so young. He's so young. It's just,
I still think there's going to be a chance for him later on. But like you said, if he would have stayed positive and never went down that road, he never would have been labeled Little Marco. Also, he could change history in the future and be like, you know, I ran for president. I ran a positive campaign, and it was a season of anger, blah, 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 you know. But he got down dirty in the mud, and everybody knows it. And he didn't fare well there, so he's tainted. And so he can't say that sort of thing. But like you said, he's so young.
Yeah. The only way I see him reviving his political career, the God, truth, honesty, the way I see it, is if he's dropped out, okay. If he goes and endorses Trump, which his speech last night doesn't seem like he's going to. I mean,
No.
But if he endorses Trump, if he sits down, say he's been about a week, he's been reflecting on this, and he's decided that the establishment left him behind. They told him to do this, and they just threw him aside. They just used him and threw him aside, and he gets angry about it. And he said, no, I'm not going to stand for this. And so he calls Donald Trump, and they talk, and he goes and endorses Donald Trump and works for Donald Trump on his campaign. And it's a good soldier, and Donald Trump makes him something, I don't know, something somewhere in the his White House, like, you know, an advisor or ambassador to Cuba or, you know,
something
where he would sit and he's good and everything. And then he restores his image and then he runs for governor in 2016. I mean, that's the only way. 2016 might be soon.
He'd be taking a chance. He's got to believe that the Trump train's going to go all the way. Because he could really just totally destroy himself if Trump implodes and then the establishment, you know, reigns supreme later, you know, after, and then he abandoned them, he'd be over. So he's got to believe Donald Trump's going to make it. But, I mean, I even like him as a vice president type thing. I've never thought Marco Rubio was ready to be president. He talks about they tell him to wait his turn. Well, I think the same thing.
Thing about Ted Cruz? Ted Cruz and him are basically the same age.
I know.
And about,
he looks older.
Ted Cruz has less experience.
Ooh. Well, what do you mean? In the Senate, don't have very much experience in the high level.
I mean,
one-term
Ted Cruz was a senator from 2012. So basically for 2 years before he started his presidential campaign. And Marco was a senator from 2010, so he had 4 years before basically starting his presidential campaign.
Yeah.
But then you look at Ted Cruz before that, he doesn't really have any legislative or political. He was a solicitor general, which is an attorney for the state. I mean, that's not really political experience. He was on the Trade Commission, director of the Trade Commission. He was the deputy attorney general under Bush. I mean, no, that's real. I mean, I guess the Trade Commission has a little bit of foreign politics in it. I mean, but Rubio was the state House Speaker in Florida. I mean, he was in the State House. I mean, he has that experience. I mean, he's by far more experienced than Cruz.
True. Well, maybe it's his baby face that gives him away, because when I look at him, I think not yet. Maybe 10 years or something. Cruz, he just, you know, he looks older, I guess. If that's just one variable.
I'm pretty sure they're within a few years of each other. I mean, it's not really. I think Cruz is 45, 46, and Rubio's, what, 44? So that, I mean,
yeah,
be off a little bit, but it's.
But
not
yeah,
off that
poor,
motion.
Poor little Marco, though, because 27% in his home state. You know, they always talk about Donald Trump having a ceiling, which always expands. So it used to be like low 30s.
Now your ceiling's like mid-40s. Now it's like mid-40s. Lower 40s,
but
mid-40s now.
but he could never beat Hillary Clinton. And then when he starts beating Hillary Clinton, they'll be like, well, he'll never get past a couple percentage points above her. Like, they keep on raising the ceiling. But Marco Rubio only got 27. So that was very disappointing. He did win his home county, though, didn't he?
So he won Miami
dog catcher. So he could probably win dog catcher when he goes back home. So
this is the only county he won.
Yeah, I know. So, and what else was there? There was Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois.
Ted Cruz put on a pretty valiant effort, I think, getting up to 30 in a state like that. But Trump cleaned up with the delegates, 51 compared to 9 for Cruz.
I know, because these states are winner-take-most now. So you have to win. You can't just play this game of coming in close second and staying in the race. You have to win from here on out. And that's going to kill Cruz. He stayed in because he's been a close second every time. He's close second. He'll win a few states, but he's close second. And he'll just barely squeak out a few of the states. And it's not even that. It's the map is shifting towards, like, Trump's. I mean, Northeast, Pennsylvania, New York. I feel like the West Coast is going to be a strong Trump area. Compared to Cruz, I don't feel like Cruz's political philosophy plays real well in California, Oregon, or Washington. You might be okay in, like, the plain states, like North Dakota. I mean, but
yeah,
they have very small delegates. But Montana, but the big delegates coming up are going to be New York, Pennsylvania, Indiana, California, New Jersey. Those are all states I think will be pretty strong for Trump.
Oh, that's all the way in June. Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana might actually play a role this year. We might actually have a chance to actually vote for real.
Well, that'd be nice.
It's been a while. But if you look Utah's winner take all. It's Arizona's winner take all. And Wisconsin winner take all, Delaware winner take all, Maryland winner take all, Pennsylvania winner take all, Indiana winner take all, Nebraska winner take all, California winner take all, Montana winner take all, New Jersey winner take all, South Dakota winner take all. And then New York's proportional, but if you get above 50% in New York, it's winner take all. And I have a feeling Donald Trump's going to do pretty strong in New York. So that could turn into a winner take all as well.
Yeah, and the thing about Trump is he competes pretty much everywhere. So even if he doesn't win, say, Ohio, there he is at number two. You know, some of the candidates can't compete in different places. Where Kasich, he doesn't have a chance in, like, Florida.
Anywhere, except Ohio. He has a chance in Ohio, and that's all.
Oh, he's making Glenn Beck sick. He had all these, I only heard snippets. Like, he had all this confetti and stuff raining down on him as he won Ohio. They're like, of course you won. It's your own state.
Oh, Glenn Beck. Is he on suicide watch yet?
No, not quite, but pretty soon. And they're all talking about third party now, which I find so ironic how this whole thing started.
Okay, let's look. Anybody who's out there who's a Cruz supporter or a Kasich supporter, support another candidate during the election. The first debate, the first question of the first debate, they wanted them to pledge their support to the Republican nominee because they were worried about Donald Trump running third party, right? That's what it was all about. Now
they wanted Donald Trump to pledge, just him.
Now that Donald Trump has gained support and he's in a good position to win, they're devising a plan to run third party. These guys are complete deceitful liars. They were worried about Donald Trump. Now they're doing the same thing they were worried about. I wouldn't vote for any of them.
Yeah, I got to correct one thing. They did ask the question, raise your hand if you won't agree to it, or something like that. So they did involve everybody, but it was definitely towards Donald Trump. We all knew who it was for.
Yeah.
And
these same people are now devising the third party.
I want to know, like, if you're a Cruz supporter, were you upset when that first debate and Donald Trump wouldn't raise his hand, where you say, oh, look at you, you're destroying the party and everything? And now when it's looking like you're not going to have your chance, and you've been indoctrinated thinking Donald Trump is a racist tyrant, now it's time for your constitutional party. It's just ironic. This whole race has been just exposing the hypocrisy of so many people and so many things.
Yeah, and these Ted Cruz supporters, I mean, if Ted Cruz is a nominee, I'll vote for him. The only nominee I won't vote for is John Kasich. If they go to contest convention and make it John Kasich, I will not vote for John Kasich. I will not.
How about if they bring back Jeb from the dead?
Nope. Nope. It's got to be Cruz or Trump, or I'm not voting.
I agree. It's got to be Cruz or Trump, and people are going to be upset.
But if Ted Cruz is such an outsider, go look at his past. This is what the problem with the Cruz voters. They only go back to 2012. And if you only go back to 2012 with Donald Trump, you're going to think he's the best conservative ever. They can throw out quotes from the 90s and the 80s from Donald Trump, but they don't go back past 2012 for Ted Cruz. You either have to do that for both candidates, or you do it for neither candidate. You can't have it both ways. I mean, Ted Cruz is a disciple of George Bush. He got his political start under George Bush. He was the director of the Trade Commission under George policy, the director of policy of the Trade Commission under George Bush. He was the campaign domestic policy advisor under George Bush. He was also a deputy attorney general under George Bush. Then Greg Abbott, who was elected to the Texas Supreme Court, was not elected but was appointed by George Bush, then ran for attorney general and won. It's the person who appointed him to solicitor general in Texas. So that's another branch off the Bush tree, helping him along. Then all of a sudden, after the Tea Party, he becomes Tea Party. No, he's Bush. He's part of the Bush wing. I mean, it's all over. I mean, you can go look. The fingerprints of the Bushes are all over him and his wife, Heidi, who was the special advisor to Condoleezza Rice, and then she worked in the Trade Commission under Bush, too. I mean, you have to go back for all the candidates. If you go back for one of them, you can't selectively pick who you want to pick apart of in their past.
No, that's what people do when you support somebody. Start making excuses. But he would be a heck of a lot better than Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, from the supporters of Cruz, you can't get the same thing for Donald Trump. You just get the...
I don't know if John Kasich would be any better than Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. I see him line up a lot. He's lined up a lot on them on policy. It comes from religious freedom to amnesty. He's lined up with them very closely.
Yeah, I know. One thing that's good about Kasich dropping out, in my opinion, is did you see that the debate Monday got canceled?
Yeah, because Donald Trump said he wasn't going to go to it. Then Kasich said, well, then I'm not going to either.
Yeah. And that's good, because I am kind of sick of the debates right now. But
yeah, and not only that, Ted Cruz posted ducking Donald, right? Or Donald ducking.
Yeah.
Something like that. Donald ducks. And I know he's trying to make a funny play on the word with Donald Duck, but he uses the picture of Scrooge McDuck, not Donald Duck, which doesn't play into his word game.
He's Scrooge McDuck? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, Scrooge McDuck with Donald's face. It's like, that's Scrooge. That's not Donald.
You think he's hiding? You think Trump is hiding? How many debates have we had? Now,
yeah,
the thing I was saying, though, with Kasich, because Kasich's in there, too, and Kasich's not going to go either, it's not that big of a deal, and Trump can get away with not going to this debate. But if it was just Trump and just Cruz left in it, then I think everybody would be clamoring for a one-on-one debate. So, and I don't think there's anything that Trump can say in the debate that's going to help him at all. So, I mean, what's the point of going to this thing? Number what, 11 or 12? I don't even know how many we've had.
It's been quite a bit.
So, I'm still waiting for Missouri, then finally call Missouri results. I mean,
well, I heard it was called, but I've looked now, and it's not. It's so close. They haven't even called it for the Democrats either. But I think he's going to win. Is Missouri take winner take all, or is it proportional?
Winner take most.
Oh, good. Good. So, like I said, it was a great night for Donald Trump. If you're supporting him, if you are him, it's going to, you know, it worked out almost perfect. I guess you could say if he won Ohio and had the clean sweep, it would be even sweeter. But there's a lot of war gaming where you think maybe John Kasich is going to actually help him in the long run. So you were hoping Rubio would cry, huh?
Yeah, I was sad he didn't cry. Yeah, old Missouri still not called. Dang.
You're heartless.
I feel like we're living in 2016, and we should know Missouri's results almost 24 hours later. I mean, we're not delivering the results by horse and buggy.
The carrier pigeon has not arrived. Well, are they doing a recount? All the hanging
I don't know.
Tabs.
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything about it. It just seems like they're like, oh, we're just going to sit here and wait. Like,
well, I think he won it, but it would be nice for Cruz if he had a win, but it kind of sucks for him even if he does get it because the night where he makes his speech and stuff, he has nothing to tout. Did you watch Ted Cruz's speech? I didn't see his.
I might have saw some of it. I mean, saw Rubio.
Nothing memorable?
No, just the same standard speech. We've proven that these other people need to get out. We haven't beaten down Trump once. We haven't beaten down Trump twice. We haven't beat him three times or four times. We've beaten down Trump 9 times. We've proven we're the only candidate who can beat down Trump. But you've also lost him 20 times.
That's when the Donald Trump head comes out and like, how about the times you lost to me? You didn't win any tonight, lying Ted.
What about all his third place finishes?
It's always crazy to me that
the Republican nomination map on Real Clear Politics, you see all the states they lit up.
No, I haven't. I'll check it out, though. I'm on the internet now.
But like, if you look at this, the map, you see there's a clear leader. I mean, if any other candidate, if Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio or anybody had this, what you go look at on this map right now.
How do you find the map? GOP
I mean,
battle for the White House map. Republican
the whole
Delegate
South, vote. The whole South is purple and green and Donald Trump. Then he has Illinois and Michigan. Then every state that's voted in the Northeast is him, other than Maine. The only thing Cruz has is Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Alaska, and Idaho. And Iowa, Idaho, and Alaska are all caucuses. And Maine. So 4 of his 7 wins are caucuses. He's won 3 primaries. And Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas are all by his home state. He should be strong
in
that
area. I see. Oh, man. Trump is dominant in the Southeast.
Yeah. Like the whole block is him. And when Missouri turns purple, and he's probably going to get, like, if Ohio wasn't Kasich's home state, that would probably be purple.
Yeah, yeah. And I like Indiana. I haven't seen any polls. It's just all anecdotal, but I think Indiana's pretty strong Trump living here and stuff. That's just what it seems like to me.
Like this section right here, this plain section, if you draw the line up, you know, where the Mississippi River goes up over to the three states on the West Coast. That's Cruz's area where he's strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see what happens, but I just not seen a situation in where Trump won't get the needed delegates or close enough where they won't be able to take it away from him. Like, if he's at, like, 12-20, they're not going to take it away from him. That would be the end of the Republican Party as we know it.
We might be seeing the end of the Republican Party, depending on how it all plays out. It might not go that route, but there are a lot of possibilities that can lead to the implosion. I mean, political parties die. And you've seen the Republicans just be, you know, abused by their own party, lied to over and over again for this last how many cycles. And then now you have an insurgent Donald Trump in it. It could just blow the whole thing up. I mean, who's really proud of the GOP anymore? Nobody. Everybody that's in it wants to change it somehow. They either want to go more traditional or whatever with Ted Cruz, or they want Donald Trump. And the other ones are just barely hanging on to anything. So
we have very few contests coming up. Next week we have Arizona, Utah, and then America Samoa. Then we have North Dakota on the 1st of April, Wisconsin on the 5th, and then nothing till the 19th, which is New York. And then it starts up again on April 26th when we start getting back in the late stages. We have Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. That sounds like a very strong Trump day. I don't know what you're thinking, but Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island all seem like strong Trump states.
I think it's strong Trump versus Cruz. But you throw in Kasich, there's a lot of squishy Republicans in these states, at least in my mind,
but,
you know, like Maryland. And they like good guy Kasich.
Delaware's winner-take-all. Maryland's winner-take-all. Pennsylvania's winner-take-all. Rhode Island's proportional. I mean, I would classify those states the same type of state, like kind of Illinois. And look what happened there. Kasich almost split the vote with Cruz, but Donald Trump got the overwhelming majority.
Yeah, well, he's up by 8. Yeah, but he got the most majority of delegates, and that's what matters.
And then, really, going forward, if you look at the states that might be Cruz-friendly, you have Arizona and Utah, North Dakota, so it's 3. Then you have Nebraska, Montana, and South Dakota. The rest of the states should all be what we've been seeing. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's looking good for Ted Cruz.
I don't see good.
I don't see any pathway for Ted Cruz to the needed delegates.
No, other than an implosion from Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I wonder what that could even look like, an implosion. What could he do? He's already done so many things that the professors of politics would definitely say would destroy you. So, I mean, what could destroy him? I mean, it's possible, of course. Everything's possible, but it's kind of hard to imagine what that scenario would be. And then Cruz could win.
Secret tape of him and Hillary Clinton coming out where he was running to help her out. That would be something.
Yeah.
But speaking of Hillary Clinton, did you see the Trump video he released today? Oh, please tell me.
Was she barking like a dog?
Hillary Clinton. Yeah, did you see it?
No, I just heard that there's one about where she's barking
classic.
Like a dog.
It's classic. Starts off, he goes, when America's enemies are this strong, and it's the video of like Putin doing jiu-jitsu and taking the guy down, a mixed martial arts jiu-jitsu. Then it's a picture of a terrorist with a gun pointed at the camera, right?
Yeah.
He goes, and this is our response, and it's Hillary Clinton, and she's talking, but instead of talking, it's like, I don't know, a Pomeranian bark. He goes, and then he goes to Putin, goes to the picture of Putin going, ha, 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 like, just chuckling. And he goes, we will no longer be the punchline of their jokes.
That's hilarious. Man, I don't envy Hillary Clinton having to run against Trump. All his missiles on deck for her. I mean, you could say,
yeah,
oh, is that a fair commercial? I don't care. It's effective. People are going to love that. He knows what works with the people.
It's not only that.
And
if you look at the primary, Hillary Clinton's faced very little attack. You know, she hasn't been attacked, really. What? They attacked her speech, her hidden speeches or whatnot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Donald Trump's had everything thrown at him. What more could they throw at him in the general election? He's much more battle-tested than Hillary Clinton. I think that's what a lot of people are overlooking. Yeah, the polls might show Hillary Clinton ahead right now, but what is she going to throw at him that Marco Rubio didn't throw at him, or Jeb Bush, or the Right the Rise Pack, or Ted Cruz? What is she going to throw at him?
I know. Well, like, you know, that one ad with mothers and daughters reading his statements about women, I mean, you think that'd just be devastating. You know, he's still persevering through all that stuff. I guess what we're going to see is more of it, and you know they're going to use those protests. We're probably going to finally have the summer of protests that people have been talking about. And I've always been like, oh, we're not going to have that. It started off with the 99% or whatever. Occupy Wall Street and all that. And I was like, people are thinking it's going to grow into some huge thing. I'm like, no. And then it died off. Then you had the Ferguson stuff, and they thought it was going to be a race thing all around the country. I'm like, no. But I do think that this Trump thing is going to be. They're going to get all the Democrats, all their people protesting. And
you know, the best thing about it for the Democrats is 70% of their voters don't work, so they have all the time in the world.
Oh yeah, and they apparently don't know anything either, and they just like to have fun. I guess it's probably fun out there protesting, standing in front of cars and stuff. But
yeah, it's fun when the one car gets mad and decides to run them over.
I know, that's what I'm hoping for when I watch TV. It's bad, but you know, that's the kind of thing. I don't know if they realize when you have these things, you make all the people watching you, most of them at least, first
hate
not
you.
Like you, and also want people to crack down on that crap if you're being outrageous. So,
yeah. Imagine, okay, let's go back to the summer of 2010 and 2009. Imagine if the Tea Partiers went to some freeway and locked arms and wouldn't let cars pass. How outrageous that would have been covered, and how we would probably call domestic terrorists shutting down a roadway. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But if Black Lives Matter does it, that's okay.
Well, they have a real grievance. The Tea Party are just trying to have an excuse for their racism.
With the motorist on the motorway, they have a real grievance?
That's what the media says, though. They, you know, they have a grievance, you know.
Even if they do have a real grievance, if the police are, there's police brutality, how is stopping the motorist on the roadway trying to go home from work or go to work going to have a logical end where they get something they need to solve the grievance?
I don't even think they care. I've never been involved in a riot or a protest of that type. And I would think that they just enjoy going out and not having the rule of law. And like, I can jump on this wall and I can yell at people and call them racist and stuff. I think that's what they like, you know. A lot of them are out there just like, woo, no rules. You never see, maybe if there's a caller want to call and enlighten us, but has there ever been conservative protests that are like real destructive? Republican protests that are like tearing stuff down and vandalizing and all that stuff.
I don't think so. I mean, I can't think of any. We went to a Tea Party rally. I mean,
Oh yeah.
People out there with their little trash sticks picking up the trash.
You could add a picnic there. You could add a picnic right in the middle of that tea party thing.
Not only that, and if you combine the two times, the tea party and the Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter people could come and have a picnic, and they would have been not even bothered.
Yeah, if they don't get in people's faces and tear their... I've never seen it. Maybe I'm just missing something in my mind, but I've never seen it. And then you got... okay, the 1968, you know, the convention, Democrat convention, had protests, but those weren't Republicans or conservatives. Those were more leftists. All we really had is the Tea Party. So, I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of it. Hopefully it doesn't work. I don't like when those sort of things or any sort of clamping down on people's speech works. That upsets me more than anything. I want people to be able to say what they want, have your event. If David Duke wants to have his event, great. Have a convention hall. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. If the Black Lives Matter people want to have an event, go ahead. Just don't rip people's signs down. And don't get in people's faces and, you know, I just hate that sort of stuff.
I mean, I saw someone talking about it, and you know the Westboro Baptist Church, right? They go and they protest military funerals and have signs that God hates fags and stuff like that up. And hateful, I mean, really hateful people. Not Christian in any way, really. I mean, if you look at the Bible, what did Jesus do? He went and ate with the prostitutes and the criminals and stuff. Jesus wouldn't have been protesting a military wedding with I hate fag signs. So they're not showing any Christianity in them at all. But imagine if instead of just standing on the side of the road with those signs, if they showed up and like hid those signs like in their pants or their shirt, and in the middle of the funeral pulled them out and was like, God hates fags. How ridiculous, how horrified and traumatized the American public would be and would call for those people to go to jail. These are the same thing these Black Lives Matter people are doing, the same thing. Maybe it's not as horrific to the American public, but they're doing that tactic.
Yeah, and, you know, as long as I don't mind if they stand outside and protest. Don't stop traffic. Don't impede everybody else's lives, you know. In the Westboro Baptist thing, what do we all think about them? We all think they're nuts. Nobody likes them, you know. And I think that they should have to stay a certain distance away from the... You can't interrupt somebody's funeral. But if you want to have a designated thing in the town square and talk about how God hates fags, it's totally your right to do it. But you can't interfere with other people's events. And I don't know how bad it got in Chicago last time. I watched a little bit of it. But I bet it's going to get a heck of a lot worse. So, and I hope I'm wrong. I sound like Glenn Beck right now. It's driving me crazy.
Well, Glenn Beck Jr.
I know, but in this, I actually think, I have a feeling, because, you know, they're going to rev that up.
Yeah.
The racist stuff is going to get revved up, everything.
I feel like Hillary Clinton's a very flawed candidate. And Donald Trump's very strong. He's drawing in the white working class. He's drawing in the black working class. He's drawing in the union workers. He's drawing in the police officers. He's drawing in the firefighters. He's drawing in all people that are traditionally split or lean Democrat in those sectors. And the only way they can think of stopping Donald Trump is to have these mass rallies, let's call him a racist, to hopefully turn the public opinion on him. I really think... And it's not like before where they just, in their campaigns rallies, they say, oh, the Republicans want to dirty air, dirty water, and throw Granny off the cliff. That won't work this time around because Donald Trump's a louder voice than them. So they need to create some type of chaos/riot to really put emphasis on the racist thing.
They're going to build up anger. What they're going to do is build up anger, and then they're going to label Donald Trump as the source of the anger. And they'll say, we need unity in this. We can't have this kind of disruptive candidate that's tearing this country apart. So they're going to actually make the anger in the stuff and then projected on him. That's their plan, and it might work.
What I find funny is Barack Obama talks about Donald Trump's hate speech, or I'm not sure exactly, but he condemned what was going on, right?
Yeah.
What did Donald Trump say? What did they go through? Oh, he said, look at that guy there, punch him in the face. Okay, he said that, okay. If you see some people with tomatoes, take them out. I'll pay your medical bills, or your, not your medical, but your legal bills. He said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? Oh, get him out of here. Get him out of here. He said, get him out of here. That's a hate speech. Get him out of here is hate speech.
Oh, they would have beat him up in the old days. That he said that.
In the old days, we would have taken them out back and beat them up. Okay. What are Barack Obama's different things he said? He said that he's going to bring a gun to a knife fight. This is on his campaign trail. How is that not more violent than what Donald Trump said?
He said get into the faces of the people that,
yep,
you know, that aren't voting for him. It's all ridiculous, man. And it's sad, though, because when you see some of these people doing that stuff, and you almost feel like, yeah, hit that dude in the face, and you don't want to be like that because there should not be any violence. But what are you in there stirring things up for? Because you want to protest this, he's a racist, and you need to be a hero to give your voice to say to the world, no, we reject this racism and hate. When I just don't see the world through the same lenses or something, because I don't see the racism and hate from that side. I see it from their side.
And then last night, starting out, like, all the exit polls, it's going to be a good night for Donald Trump. They've admitted it, right? And then throughout the night, and then when Kasich won, right? Kasich won that state. And then next thing, what do they pivot to? What can we do to stop Donald Trump? The GOP, the networks, Fox News, that's all they talk about. They can do this and that. They can stop Donald Trump. It's going to be good. I mean, have you ever seen this about a candidate that's the clear front runner? Clearly is on the path that claim the most delegates. And they're plotting. They're plotting on how can we make sure he doesn't get enough. I mean, it's despicable. I'm watching and I'm sickened.
Never seen it before. Like I said, this election has really shone a light on so many things. I mean, can you imagine if Mitt Romney was running and then John McCain is out making a speech about how we can't elect anybody but Mitt Romney? Has this stuff ever happened?
I mean, I think it might have happened during the Goldwater election, but that was a long time ago.
I wasn't around, and I haven't really studied that much.
That was 20 years before we were alive. But,
yeah, so,
I mean,
just don't know. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like this.
I mean, and the sad thing is, before Donald Trump ran, all the Republicans loved him. You know what I mean?
Oh, even...
He spoke at CPAC for 7 years. In a row, they spoke to the conservative CPAC, and they all gave him roaring cheers, and they loved Donald Trump's speeches. Now all of a sudden he runs, like, oh, he's not conservative. But you let him speak there 7 years prior. He wasn't running for an office. He was just a conservative business leader that you wanted to speak there.
Well, you know what? Even if you said he's not a conservative, and that's not why I'm voting, that's why I can't vote for him, that's fair or whatever. I don't agree, and you can talk about that and resolve it. But that's fair. But they're painting this guy who spoke at their conventions and was endorsed and all this stuff, they're painting him as like a Mussolini or an evil dictator figure, a World War III bringer that's full of hate and racism that appeals to the most base and evil instincts of humanity. It's like the worst things you can think of, you know? So it's like they go overboard, and it really seems weird.
I think the problem is they're using the wrong word. They say we're angry.
What word?
I'm not angry. Are you angry?
No.
I'm not angry, and we're letting them. A lot of people love them. Yeah, we're angry at the GOP. No, we're not angry at the GOP. We're dismayed over what the GOP's done. They haven't listened to us. We're dismayed. We're upset. We're not angry. We're not ready to get our guns and throw them out of there angry. We're dismayed. We can't believe they've done this. We've listened to them. They've lied to us, and we're upset about it, but we're not
angry about it. We're not hateful about it.
I'm, like, never angry. I'm not angry at all about this sort of election or any of it. So, I know, they label anger because they're going to use that. They're going to use that later when they have protests and stuff. And all this anger comes from Trump and his brown shirt supporters who just hate Mexicans because they're different than us and we're xenophobic and we blame not having good jobs on other countries. We just, because, you know, simple-minded, low information, knuckle-draggers, just, we don't know anything. We just go with the cult of personality because we saw him on The Apprentice or something.
I've never even watched The Apprentice. I really have never watched it.
I watched a couple episodes, but Donald Trump wasn't really even on my radar. I mean, you heard about him and stuff when he did the birth certificate thing. But he wasn't even on my radar. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump and his shows or any of that stuff.
Let's put it this way, okay. Since Obama's been president, what have the base Republicans said? Why is Obama getting a pass on releasing his records? We were upset about that, right? As a whole, the Republican Party didn't understand how that happened, right? Can you agree with that statement?
I'll agree that massive amounts, right? Yeah.
Okay, what has the GOP done about either one of those? Those are the two big things that we've been upset about. What has the GOP done about either one of those? Nothing. What has Donald Trump done? He held a whole campaign about his birth certificate and got that released. He's done so much more than GOP just from being a business leader.
Yeah. What has the GOP done at all?
That's why people look at him. They said if he can do it and you can't, maybe he's better to lead than you guys.
What has the GOP done since the Bush tax cuts? Anything? I mean, that's the thing. We're not angry. We're just enlightened on what the party system's like and how it's just the same. How there's nothing changed, nothing gets done. They all agree behind closed doors. Or if not, then they're the most impotent, ineffectual people ever because they don't accomplish anything.
What has the GOP really done since Newt Gingrich? Honestly, we had the Bush tax cuts, but since 94, that's all we've done. 22 years we've got tax cuts. That's all.
Yeah, we got tax cuts, and they did Medicare Part B or something.
No child left behind.
Yeah,
it's Common Core.
So,
I mean, haven't been any accomplishments really to hang your hat on.
Going to war and then leaving and just it's a mess. I mean, really, they haven't accomplished anything. They tell you every year that they're going to do certain stuff, and people believe it. And every year they're let down. And a lot of people think that Donald Trump is actually going to accomplish things. They think that he's got a mission and he's going to actually try to go through it like he does in business or, you know, how you get things done. And so I think that's a big draw. They just don't trust any of these people anymore. And some are trusting Ted Cruz because they think that he's outside the system as well. And some are going for Bernie Sanders because they're outside the system and they're socialists. And not. So I don't know. It could be the end of the GOP, but I think more likely that we're going to get Trump and we're going to get a transformation of the GOP if everything works out good. We don't know what the next 4 or 8 years are going to be.
I'm just looking at this. And if you're a Ted Cruz supporter, and I was, you got to sit back and ask yourself, what has Ted done? What has he done throughout his whole political career? What has he done that tells you he's an outsider? And I don't mean he called Mitch McConnell a liar. I don't mean he stood up for 22 hours. What has he done? What effective legislation has he passed or change has he brought that he's done?
Well, John, they won't let him do anything.
Well,
that's what they'll say. He would like to. I don't know any legislation he's proposed, But these guys can propose anything. Like Bernie Sanders proposes free college for everyone, but that's not realistic. That's just a talking point.
Like
so,
even when he was a solicitor general, they all talk about, oh, he fought for our Second Amendment right. Okay. Let's sit down, Ted Cruz fans. You're a Republican solicitor general that was appointed by a Republican attorney general, who was appointed by a Republican governor. And a Second Amendment case comes up that you're arguing for. You're not going to argue
in Texas.
In Texas, you're not going to argue in against it. You're not going to say, yes, we don't need this. You're not going to do that. That would be political suicide. If Lindsey Graham was a solicitor general during the same time, he would argue just like Ted Cruz argued. The same with religious liberty. It's political suicide. I mean, you point to these things, but the most rhino, John McCain, would have argued the same way. John McCain argued for all that stuff when he was running for president, because if he didn't, that'd be political suicide.
And that's the tenet of the red team. If you're part of the red team, you have certain things you fight for, and you have to stand for certain things. You're part of the blue team.
So I don't count that as a political accomplishment, like he's shown he's fought for the Constitution. No, you fought for the Republican Party's pillars of what they stand on. Gun rights, religious freedom. The one time he did fight against the party, I'll give him credit, was when George Bush was going to transfer prisoners on death row back to Mexico, and he fought against that and won. But that's one time, and it's a good feather in his cap, but who's to say?
I mean, it is good. If you're you're breaking up, John. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I couldn't hear the last thing you said. If you're going to go up against Jeb Bush or Ted Cruz, you're going to want to go for Ted Cruz. Because even though they're all on the same team, Cruz is more, you know, he's stronger and he's more ardent on those things that we all like. So, yeah, that's understandable. But if we want something to get accomplished, if that's your deciding factor, I think that Donald Trump has far more signs that he knows how to get things actually accomplished, actually done. Or Ted Cruz, he might have the principles, but has he got them done? And then how's he going to manage the Senate and the House and all these things? I just don't see him actually getting anything done. He might be able to put off things, veto things, and that's good. But I think somebody like Trump's going to be able to find a way to actually get things done and get 80% of what we want and 20% of what they want.
50% of what we want. Even if we got 50% of what he's pushing, it would be an improvement on what we're at now.
Oh, yeah. And of course, they're going to get some stuff. They are part of this country, too. They're going to get some things. But we'll get things done, and he's not going to, you know, 50%, like you said, that's 100% more than we get now. So
I just feel like these people on Ted Cruz, the Cruz team, they look at Donald Trump, and most of them are Christians, and they feel like Donald Trump's not a Christian. And I've seen numerous pastors testify to having a relationship with Donald Trump for 20, 30 years and giving testimony in his behalf of what different things he's done that you never heard of. One pastor was talking about how she was visiting his golf course, and they're driving to the golf course, and he goes, I'm going to stop here for a second. He stopped, walked over to a gentleman in the sand trap. He's raking the sand, like making it, and he went and he shook the guy's hand and goes, thank you for making my golf course beautiful. I mean, that's not something that he's putting out there. I mean, he didn't put that out there and said, look how good I am. Someone else told us about it many years later. Then another time she said that he came over to her house and she had a friend who had a ministry that helped get prostitutes off the road and get them recovering. And Donald Trump pulled out his checkbook and wrote her a donation and said that's the type of ministry Jesus Christ would be doing. I mean, he has his image, but everybody that's known him for the good part of the last 20 to 30 years has a completely different image of him. So who am I going to trust? The media's image that they portray? Or people that have known him and are his friends? His employees. How many employees have come out and said this bad image of Donald Trump? How many employees have, out of the thousands of his employees, how many?
Yeah. Well, his butler, he supported him. Well, you know, I'm not even so concerned about if they're a Christian. One thing I know, because we don't know Donald Trump's heart, you can tell from those things, you know, but one thing I can tell, he's not anti-Christian. I don't think there's any possibility of him trying to infringe on Christians' rights or degrade Christianity in any way. I mean, he's probably not leading the Sunday school, but that's not what I look for in a president. Now, if he was anti-Christian and he's like, these kooks, you know, they're dangerous and stuff, okay, well, that's something to take note of. But if he's just a guy, you hear good things about him, he says he's a Christian, whatever, just let it be like that. I haven't heard anything on the contrary. Other than, like, the image that caricature of him. So
it's just, they wanted, everything they bring up about Donald Trump, every narrative that's out there, seems like a false narrative to me. I'm not seeing it. Oh, he said this. Oh, he did say this.
Angry.
But they don't ever look at the big picture. Problem is they're looking at lines, not the big picture. He said this. He said, oh, you're a fat pig. That's the only thing they want to bring up. Called a woman a fat pig. Well, it was on Twitter, and him and Rosie O'Donnell were insulting each other back and forth, and Rosie O'Donnell started it.
Yep. And it was funny as heck. It's hilarious. You see him on that Entertainment Tonight talking about she's a slob and all that stuff. It's great. Can you imagine, though? Donald Trump has been a personality in the spotlight for how many years? 30 years or something? All these different things recorded going. Can you imagine if you were on Howard Stern's show and you've been in the public eye and you don't care because you're not beholden to anybody. You just say what you think. And then they took things that you've said about people. You'd sound like a monster if they cherry-picked all that stuff. All his things against women and all those, you know. Some of those came from a Howard Stern show.
Yeah, it's Howard Stern show. He was playing to the audience. He was an entertainer on Howard Stern.
Don't you think you've ever said anything politically incorrect with your buddies?
But
you know,
they don't bring up Megyn Kelly's Howard Stern appearance. They're talking about sex with her husband and how big his Johnson is. They don't bring that up. Why isn't that brought up?
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, go research it. She said a lot of really risque things on Howard Stern's show. But they don't bring that up. Only Donald Trump's. Only Donald Trump's appearance did they bring up.
Well, I think there's a rejection of the PC culture big time. It's gaining steam. And when people, your average American, hears that stuff, I mean, when they hear it all compiled in some evil, not evil, but nasty attack ad, then okay, it might have an effect. But when you hear the stuff he says, it's just what normal people talk like. We're not all just PC bots. They never say anything. When I'm with my buddies,
PC principle, bro.
I said stuff like if I was recorded and you played it, I would sound horrible, but I'm not sexist at all. I have a sister. I love my sister. I love my mother, all that stuff. So I don't know. They're going to try it, though. They're going to try it big time. And he has a lot of stuff to work with because he's been around so long.
I really don't feel like Hillary Clinton can play the sexist card. I think they tried to do that early on, and Donald Trump shut it down. And said, let's talk about Bill Clinton, your husband. Let's talk about what you did to women that accused your husband. Let's talk about that, Hillary. And then it went away. I think the racist card is what they're going to go for.
There's a whole generation of people that don't know anything about Paula Jones and all that stuff. And Jessica Flowers, isn't that her name, I think, or Jennifer?
Yeah, but if we educate them, if Donald Trump educates them on them, then they will
educate. Donald Trump, even if he loses, he's going to be a nuclear bomb. He's going to tear Hillary up like no politician has ever been torn up, ever. They think they're going to protest him and they're going to make him look bad. This guy, that's one of his strong suits. He's going to, you know, and there's so much to work with Hillary Clinton, too. She's had so many crazy opinions on things, changing her mind on things. Everything from, you know, Bill Clinton scandals to Whitewater to Benghazi to all these things. And they're all going to be brought up, and they're going to be brought up in a memorable way.
Yeah.
So,
not only that,
you know,
there are so much more things. The rumors of the Clintons, the people who are against them getting killed, and just everything. I mean, it's just there's a lot to work with, and if she wants to play dirty, and Donald Trump knows how to hit a nerve when he plays dirty. He knows how to and the low energy jab.
Definitely. He puts his sights on her. It's gonna be a nuclear bomb. And I hear the Democrats were all clapping and so happy that Rubio's out because they thought that he would be the hardest to beat.
Okay, Rubio wins one state. Pretty much Donald Trump, a young, promising Rubio, career ahead of him, right? And Donald Trump basically ruins his whole career. And he's going to be harder to beat than Donald Trump.
Well, they would say because he's Hispanic or Cuban, I don't know if it counts, that he'll appeal to all these voters and he's nicer and all these things. Yeah, but he can't win states. He can't even win his own state. So I know what you're saying. I guess they think that general electorate is way different than the primary electorate.
He took out Jeb Bush, the Bush dynasty. He took that out. He took out Rubio, who was young and promising. He was the future of the Republican Party, right? That's what he's billed at, the future. Rubio's the future, right? Took him out.
Yep.
And you don't think a political dynasty like the Clintons are going to be an easy target for Donald Trump? Bernie Sanders might not be, other than the fact he's a crazy socialist.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's kind of bad, too, to be a crazy socialist.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing against Bernie, is that he's a crazy socialist. And, yeah,
because
I just don't see how Hillary Clinton thinks Donald Trump's going to be a pushover or whatever.
Because Bernie, it'd be harder against Bernie, because Bernie is authentic.
Yeah.
Bernie believes what he says, right? Hillary Clinton is not authentic. Marco Rubio's not really authentic. And when you have that fakeness to you, somebody shining a bright light on you, you know, all your blemishes, all your little lies, it's going to be hard for.
And Hillary Clinton is by far the most fake. I mean, of all the candidates, she's by far I think she'll be the easiest to take out. Like, of all the candidates that were in the field, who's more fake than Hillary Clinton?
Nobody. Nobody's more fake. Picks opinions based on polls and based on what's good for her. I mean, I don't think there's a principled bone in her, other than being a leftist, but, you know, like, she's fake.
Before she was a leftist in '64, she was a Goldwater girl. She was a conservative, and then when they lost big, then she became a leftist. So I don't think it's principled at all. I think she just felt like the conservative cause didn't have a chance because of that loss,
and decided to go to the liberal cause.
Yeah, I think she's into having power and into, like, achieving that goal. She wants to be the president. That's what she's principled on. She wants to be the president. She wants to be the first woman president. So it's going to be real interesting now that Rubio's out. We're going to actually see. They say that 80% of Rubio's votes are going to go to Ted Cruz. That's
Who,
what
Glenn
the
Beck?
Exit polls or something. Fox News, Glenn Beck.
Oh.
Same people that said all of Jeb Bush's support's going to go to Rubio, but it didn't really buffer him at all, did it?
So what you're telling me is the Ted Cruz is about ready to drop off the cliff. If you're looking at the record, that means Ted Cruz is about ready to drop off the cliff like Rubio did.
Well, we'll see. If it follows the same path, these prognosticators have been wrong. Everybody trying to predict what's going to happen has been wrong. Unless you put your money on Trump, because that's the only train that's moving. And it's picking up steam. I don't think that there's been a point.
Yesterday was huge. It was huge. Like,
oh, yeah.
They try to make it look like it wasn't so huge because he didn't win Ohio. But in all intents and purposes, he pretty much wrapped it up yesterday. I mean, it's going to be hard for him not to win it. Ohio would have been for extra credit. Like, there was absolutely no way anybody could catch him. And there's no, I mean.
Oh. You look at this whole race where Donald Trump's been the front runner. People talking about the unstoppable Donald Trump and the Teflon Don. You know, nothing can hurt him and all this stuff. All the things that have happened, Megyn Kelly to everything. Right now, Donald Trump is at a highest point that he's ever been. The train is moving faster than it's ever been. There's been no slowdown. There's been times where you thought, oh, no, maybe. But no, at this point right now where we are, it's full bore ahead.
Yes.
And they don't want to admit it.
I remember when he announced. And I kind of liked Donald. When he announced, when he first came out and announced, I kind of liked Donald Trump. I thought, oh, I like Donald Trump, but he has no chance. But I like him. Stuff I've seen him say since he's really been on the political scene, because he really wasn't on the political scene before like 2010-ish. Not really. Do you ever remember Donald Trump being a player in the 2004 election?
No.
Not until about 2010 did Donald Trump really come on the political scene. So that's when I start his political career. That's when he started like making, you know, that's when he really started.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where and ever since then, I've liked everything he said. Thought, man, he might be a good president. There's no way Donald Trump would ever get elected. That's always been in my mind, right? Because he's Donald Trump, I mean.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Then when he announced, I thought, oh, man, I like Donald Trump, but there's no way he'll become president. And then he started to go on the top of the polls. I was like, I like Donald Trump. I don't know if you hold it, but he's one I'm really considering now. Ted Cruz is number one, then Donald Trump was there with like Ben Carson and Chris Christie. I like those guys. Then he continued to hold, and then stuff happened. And when finally, it wasn't until the week of the Iowa caucus when Ted Cruz was endorsed by Glenn Beck. He sent out those mailers, voter fraud or voter violation mailers, which I thought was really not very classy. I mean, it might not have broken any laws, but if I get a voter violation in the mail from a candidate's campaign, I'm definitely not voting for that candidate. That's me personally. I don't know how you feel. It obviously must have worked or not hurt him too bad because he won the Iowa caucus. And then the day of the Iowa caucus, when they told people that Ben Carson was dropping out, and this finally was, I was like, well, I really need to investigate this guy. And the more I investigated him, the more I disliked him.
So that led you to Trump being Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember, it's kind of a vague memory, but it's kind of surreal now to think about it. I can remember hearing about Donald Trump announcing his candidacy, like, and something about he hired a whole bunch of people to wear Donald Trump shirts and be at his thing to support his announcement for his candidacy. And I just remember hearing that kind of offhand. and kind of like chuckling about it or whatever. Like, oh my gosh. Then it wasn't until really what it was is that as the thing went on, I don't know who, I guess I was kind of for Rand Paul actually before the debates, because I kind of like have a libertarian streak in me. And some of the stuff I heard about him, I liked. So I was kind of going in with that mindset. Donald Trump wasn't even on my radar. It wasn't until I started hearing Donald Trump's going to shut down the internet and all these things, and I was believing it. I was one of these people parroting, you know, well, he's going to shut down free speech and everything. And I thought, no, I'm not going to be like this. I'm going to actually look up the context. And then I found, no, I was wrong, and they distorted that. So I went through all the things that I've been hearing, and I found more and more distortions. And then I started wondering, why is this man's words being so distorted and twisted every single time? You know? And just that kind of led me to it, because I think if all these people are against him, there must be something here. And ever since then, it's just gotten more and more obvious. If you're a Cruz supporter, you don't see it. If you're a Trump supporter, you see this absolute bias from 90% of everywhere. And I think I'm still being pretty objective. I'm not in love with Donald Trump or anything, but you see Fox News, you see the reporting is just ridiculous. So it just solidifies my support for him.
Other countries' leaders, the Republican establishment, the Democrats, the billionaire class that runs elections, and all these Bernie Sanders fans, this protest, this democracy spring that's going to happen, right? Their whole thing is to get rid of the billionaire class from the politics. Go look up your financing of all the candidates. There's only one candidate that has done any self-financing, that's Donald Trump. He's 70% of his campaign has been self-financed. You can go look up the stats. Bernie Sanders, by far, is the closest with small donations. But I think it's 56% small and 46% large. So Bernie Sanders is beholden to these billionaires, too. You guys can tell yourself a fairy tale and that you're going to all have rainbows and unicorns and ice cream cones in socialist land. But if you go look up the FCC filings, he's like 56-44, small to large. Donald Trump's 70%. Self-funded, and like I think the rest of it's like 29% small and 1% large. He's the one who's not beholden. You can go look all that stuff up.
Now this is, I want your take on this. Now when they ask him if he's going to self-fund through the general, he said he hasn't made that decision yet. Would that take away anything for you if he did take super PAC money in the general?
It wouldn't.
You don't think so?
I think every candidate, once it gets to the general, would take some super PAC money. It just depends. I guess it depends how he takes it, what he does, you know, what level it is.
What's going on?
You know,
yeah, I mean, I prefer if he just stayed 100%, you know, then you could really stick with that. So I kind of thought, oh, what's that about? But I do know that when you're in the general, I mean, there's going to be billions spent, or at least a billion on their side. And there's going to be people that want to support you if you're the Republican nominee. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think it's plausible not to have super PACs right now at all. Like what I'm saying, if there's a super PAC out there and it supports Donald Trump during the general election and pours money and runs ads and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
The candidate's not supposed to be affiliated with the super PACs, period, even though they are behind the scenes. And if it's like the super PACs really supposed to be set up where he's really not affiliated with them, but they want to run a super PAC for him because they know that their interests definitely won't be served if it's Hillary Clinton and they have a better chance with Donald Trump, then I'm okay with it. But if it's backroom brokering or people from his campaigns coordinating it, then I have a problem with it.
Okay. I was just curious because that was one little thing that came up, I think, in the CNN debate that was a little curious. But
I don't think it'd be super PACs in the in the term of like the Right the Rise super PAC for Jeb Bush. I don't think it'll be like where they're hand in hand with the campaign. You know what I mean? I think it'll be a more natural born super PAC, like it was like pure, more pure, like intended, not as a, oh, what is the word? Not as interlocked with the campaign as other super PACs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but like we said, it was a big night last night for Donald Trump. Rubio's out. The race is starting to tighten. Trump's starting to pull away.
Kasich mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, but he's a spoiler. Oh, if you're a Cruz supporter, I bet you hate Kasich today. He's such a nice man. He's just... He won Ohio. He's on his way. So
yeah, he's going to win.
Well, we're getting close to the end. Anything else you want to recap before we call it a night?
Big day yesterday for Donald Trump. We have Kasich staying in. He's probably going to end up driving Glenn Beck to either drink again or suicide. One or the other. He might just cease to exist. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it's Donald Trump's to lose. I really don't think the establishment's going to have much say in the contested convention and stuff like that. So I'm not worried. As worried as I was before the election last night, I knew if Donald Trump had a good night, it's going to be hard to stop him from getting that delegate count. Just due to the way the race shifts from all the proportional to winner-take-all. I mean, because he's won two-thirds of states. There's about 20 states left, so if he wins, like, 11, just say he wins half of them, he's probably going to be close to taking it. He's probably going to win more than that because of those states, a lot of them are favorable. A lot of them are East Coast. A lot of them are, like, California, Oregon. I just feel like Ted Cruz's politics doesn't play well in California, Oregon, or Washington state. It might play well in the Plains and in the South. I mean, we've already had his strong states. He should have done much better in the South, and he didn't. Donald Trump took it. I really don't see a way. I mean, anything could happen.
Yep, anything could happen.
And for all the people out there, at this point in 1980, Ronald Reagan was losing to Jimmy Carter 2-1. So that he doesn't have a chance versus Hillary Clinton. There's still a long time. The polls aren't right now. We don't know what's going to happen. But we are coming to the end of our show. As always, we're on Monday and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. You can call in 646-787-8249. You can follow us at Rep Radio 2. And just keep engaged, ask questions. Thank you for listening.
Yep, everybody have a good night. And don't stand in front of the Trump train.